You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 75 for June 17th, 2013.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk about running and everything that entails, from running to running, training, gear.
And sometimes things that aren't related to running.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting episode, I guess, to a certain degree. We will talk later about Spirit of the Marathon, which was this movie that we mentioned was coming out in theaters, kind of like the one night premiere, which we did go see.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. And a couple other things that we did. I was kind of joking before we hit the record button that I kind of did 6 days of running activities. So yeah. I didn't say 6 days of running.
But running related.
Running related activities. Things. So I think I'm going to go ahead and count that, which makes it a really awesome week. Because, you know, hey, I got 6 days in.
Is that part of your weekend training?
Maybe. So we'll get into all that stuff. So speaking of weekend training, let's go ahead and let you start us off with kind of how your week went.
Okay. So I think, was it last week that I was saying that I kind of had an unintentional cut back week?
Right.
So I guess that probably worked pretty well because I had a pretty good week in terms of running this week.
Oh, okay. So sometimes you really need just a little bit of rest.
Yeah, I guess so. Or just laziness or whatever, however you want to interpret it. So now my cross training wasn't great, but still I got 3 days of weight training in. I didn't get any days on the bike at all, but in terms of running. Oh, wait. Going back to, I think, a couple of weeks before where I was saying I was going to try to do some strength training for my glutes.
Mm-hmm.
I actually finally did some, weeks later. So I just finally did some of that this week. So I kind of completely forgot about it until now.
Me too.
So I don't know if it's going to make a difference at all. But I mean, I'm sure the one time.
Yeah,
it's
one
not
time.
Make
well,
a difference,
I guarantee you pretty much won't
but,
do it.
But if I keep doing it, maybe it will. But I did do actually 50 miles of running this week. So pretty high mileage week for me.
Okay.
Which included 2 incline runs and then 1 long run, non-trail long run of 19 miles yesterday.
That's felt, definitely a long run.
Yeah, it felt pretty good actually. It wasn't too warm. I mean, it was starting to warm up towards the end, but you know, got a little bit of a headwind, mm-hmm. which okay made it a little bit more difficult to run, but it actually felt pretty good in terms of like cooling me off. There's this one point where it was kind of funny. I was running and like I felt like with every step I felt like something was like stinging my left calf. Like not like muscle, but kind of like a bug. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what's, you know, took a couple steps. I'm like, is there like a bug on my leg? You know, and I was trying to look while I was running and I didn't see it. And I'm like, oh my God, like what the heck is it? So I finally just like stopped and I'm looking at my left calf. I'm like, what, you know, is there like a bite there? Is there like some bug? There was nothing there. Felt totally fine. I'm like, what, it was somebody throwing something at me? You know, like what was it? And then I just accidentally looked at my right shoe and there was like a little branch from like this flower or something, some weed thing that I guess every time I like would step with my right foot, it actually would hit my left calf. So it was like poking it every single time. And I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting.
So, it's, so you know, you were just kept hitting yourself.
Yeah. Pretty much I was hitting myself. Yeah. Yeah. That was a problem. So, but I'm glad I figured it out and didn't like start running again. Like, what is this? Like what keeps like hitting me, you know, like what's happening. So I thought that was pretty funny. I kind of had to laugh to myself, but you know, didn't want anybody to think I was like going crazy. So yeah, so I didn't laugh too loud. But yeah, that was pretty much my week. I mean, we're just a couple of weeks out from Dirty Dozen, which we've mentioned a couple of times. So mm-hmm. yeah, so hopefully this 19 miler works with or helps with
getting ready for that.
Exactly. So how was your week?
I actually had a very good week. Definitely didn't have that last week, but actually I barely remember last week, but very good, very good week. Got my 3 days of running in. Kind of hit the mileage that I needed to hit, hit the paces that I really, well, one day was a little bit slow. Actually, it was way slow, but I really didn't care. Tuesday, I went out and ran in my Nike Freeze.
Oh, that's right.
I've had for a long time. I rarely ever, you know, they're kind of just my walking around shoes sometimes.
Yeah.
But just to kind of mix it up, I ran in those and it kind of beat my legs up a little bit. Kind of definitely felt the road a little bit more. My leg was actually a little bit sore the next day. Pretty sure that was based on the shoes.
Yeah.
I think I could actually run in them if I did it on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
But just throwing them in there once every 6 months kind of just seems a weird thing.
It's kind of like my glute workout. Like
yeah. Once. Like, well, you know, once yeah. every 6 months.
Right.
You know, what's the point of that? But yeah, I felt good outside of that on Thursday. And then for the weekend was a long run. I was shooting for 16. And what was different this week versus some recent weeks was I actually did 16.
Yay!
And actually did it faster than I kind of planned or expected. Mm-hmm. So it was actually ended up being about 25 seconds per mile faster than I had run long recently and kind of than what I had planned.
That's a pretty big difference.
So I'm like, oh, that's like pretty good. And what it was is I just felt really good. I purposely stayed within myself in the first few miles, actually forced myself to take some walk breaks in there. So like even like after 1 mile, I just took a little bit of a walk break and did the same thing at like mile two. And then after that, just kind of mixed them in every once in a while, just kind of keep the average pace down. And just kind of, you know, remind me to kind of take it a little bit slow. But then I hit like miles 5 through 9, which I always say is like, I'm always like in the zone. So I was just like pumping away, feeling really good. And this was an out and back. So went out 8 and then came back. So I guess around 10, you know, 11, things start catching up to you and you know, started slowing down. Definitely faded towards the end, but that was no surprise. But I was still pretty happy with my overall pace.
Yeah.
So very, very good, actually. In terms of preparing for Dirty Dozen, I think I said I'd have to kind of change my goals for that race because I looked back on what my training plan has been for like the past month. Although I barely looked at it, I kind of just knew in my head what I wanted to do. I had actually written down a 19 for this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So did a 16. So a little bit short there on kind of what I had planned to do, but I'm actually really happy that that particular run went so well.
Yeah. So are you thinking that you're going to change your goal or no?
You know, when we do Dirty Dozen, you know, last year I did 20 miles. So I'll get in 20 miles.
Yeah. Well, you just did 16. So.
Yeah. So considering, you know, you have 6 hours to do it, I can sit down for 2 hours and then probably
and then
still
go do another four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. So yeah. I don't think that'll be a problem. My goal was kind of, I really wanted to do 26.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, I don't want to like hurt myself.
Right.
Trying to go for that. But so we'll see. So hopefully somewhere between 20 and 26 is kind of the plan. I think it would take a miracle or just some awesome great day for me to do anything beyond 26 miles.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'd be really smart for me to do
anything
past 26 when you kind of only done 16 going into it. So, but overall, like a really good week. And then you kind of throw in the other activities that we had running related in the week and made it big on running. So before we get to that, I guess let's jump into kind of the big races that were kind of going on this weekend that caught our attention anyways was Vancouver Marathon.
Yeah.
Which we saw the medal. Pretty cool looking
pretty
medal,
cool.
Actually. Was that like gold or silver?
I think it was silver-ish.
Very clean, polished look to it, I guess. Kind of reminded me of that Soldier Field
medal. Yeah, that's what I was just thinking about.
So very nice medal there. That was this past weekend. Kind of a race that I wouldn't mind doing someday. Never been to Vancouver. So I'll add that to the list of possibilities someday. The other big one was the San Francisco Marathon.
Right.
So kind of the closest to us here. We're here in Northern California. So the closest big race. Although I guess the one thing I should say is I actually looked at the numbers of people that do this race and I was actually surprised at how small it is.
Yeah. I always thought it was much bigger.
Right.
Not that it's a small race, but it's just way smaller than what I thought.
Yeah. I mean, you think San Francisco, that's, you know, big city on the West Coast along with LA. So you would think it'd be kind of a huge marathon.
Right.
And it's not. I think they were kind of quoting numbers that said, I think registered for the full marathon, 7,000, which actually makes it smaller than CIM in Sacramento.
For the marathon.
For the marathon. Although when I looked at the results, I think for in terms of finishing was 5,000 something.
Okay.
Actually finished it.
Got it.
And then they also have two half marathons. They have the first half and the second half where you literally, you can either do one or the other and you're either running the first half of the full marathon course or the second half of the full marathon course. So I think there was like 5,000 people that finished the first half and I think like 3,000 that finished the second half. And then they also have a 5K.
Right.
And is it a 5K and a family run or something?
I think it's a 5K and like a kids run or something.
Okay, that's what it was. So all in all, you know, what are we looking at? 5, 3, 13,000. And then you had the 5K, 14,000. So 14,000 to 15,000 people.
Yeah. Just say kind max of 15.
Always, you know, if somebody would have just asked me, I would have always said this was like 20,000.
Yeah, like, I'd say for sure 20, maybe like 25.
But I always, for some reason, thought there was more people doing the full.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit surprising there, I guess. Mainly just because of that comparison to CIM.
Right.
And CIM basically being a bigger race now.
They did say numbers were down a little bit this year.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right.
But for the overall.
Right.
And the marathon was actually supposedly a few hundred people more.
Right.
That did the marathon.
Right.
And I think we mentioned, because we kind of see it on local news here in the Bay Area, they were talking like, oh, you know, come early because of heightened security and all this stuff. And I was reading a few race reports and nobody even really mentioned it.
Yeah, I didn't really hear anything about
it. So I don't know if it was a problem, not
like
a problem.
Like after the fact.
Yeah. So it kind of is what it is. We had the opportunity to, like we said, we kind of hooked up with Ragnar. We're kind of both Ragnar ambassadors for their Napa Valley race. So we actually both had a chance to go out to the expo and actually kind of manned the booth, the Ragnar booth. I was out there on Friday. You were out there on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We were actually out there exactly when we said we were.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, what we thought.
Which ended up being kind of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Never been on the other side of the table at an expo. So kind of very used to going to expos and talking to vendors and talking to people there representing races and, you know, asking questions about races and stuff.
Looking at medals and that sort of thing.
So it was kind of different being on the other side of it.
Right.
Getting asked the questions and, you know, telling people all about the race. And
and it's interesting kind of trying to, like, interact with people but not being too, like, overly, like, if you see them kind of eyeing the booth, like, not, like, you know, being overly excited, like, hey, come on over, you know, and just waiting until, like, they get close enough where you can, you know, start asking or talking to them, you know. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like, there's kind of like that distance, I don't know, between, like, the table and the person where, okay, if they, like, are close enough, then I'm going to say something. But if not, you know, then, okay, they're just kind of peeking over and they're going to keep moving along. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, we were actually located, like, right at the beginning of the actual expo part of it. So we actually got people, like, who had just come through. I mean, you pick up your bib and all that stuff, and then you kind of go through race merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
And then you exit to the expo, and we were kind of like one of the first booths right there.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if it's a good spot or bad spot. I don't know. But we were kind of...
it could be either or.
We weren't on, like, the main floor. We were kind of, like, at the beginning. So it felt a little bit separated from everything. It was kind of hot in the... It's not a convention center. Whatever that they call the concourse center.
Concourse, yeah.
But it was a lot of fun talking to people, kind of telling everybody about Ragnar. We're obviously kind of, you know, big Ragnar fans, obviously. We've done several of them. We have several of them coming up. I felt pretty good in my knowledge of Ragnar. I was actually able to answer everybody's question.
Yeah, I was kind of worried. Like, what if they ask something that I don't know or... You know, just, but yeah, I felt pretty comfortable with what most people were asking, you know, and I think most people kind of tended to have the same general questions anyway, so you're kind of talking about the same thing or giving out the same information, you know, to several people, so.
The only question I struggled to answer was actually one gentleman asked me when the Ragnar Trails Tahoe was, and like off the top of my head, I just blanked.
Really?
Which is horrible because we're doing the race.
Yeah.
So I had to look it up on my
phone.
Like
a month and a half from now.
Yeah, I'm like, it's like. In 6 weeks, and I'm like, hang on, because I have it on like my little race schedule on my phone.
Yeah.
So I was able to pull it up very quickly, but yeah, the one question I really should have known, I didn't have an answer for. So
yeah, I think the only ones that maybe I had to, like, I didn't know exactly, but you know, answer was sufficient, was people that were from out of the area that were looking to do like a different Ragnar, like in a different part of the U.S. and they're like, oh yeah, you know, like, isn't there one over here? And I knew that there was, but it's like, when exactly is it? It's like, shoot, I don't remember like the dates, but you know, like, somebody asked about Florida and at least I knew that was like in January and you know, that sort of thing. So
yeah, it was interesting talking to people like who are familiar with Ragnar or maybe done one. And then there's people who like, I have no idea what Ragnar, like, what does Ragnar mean? Like, what are you talking about?
I think
like,
you had a lot more of those people. I hardly had anybody that hadn't heard of Ragnar.
Yeah, that's what you said. You were there on the Saturday. Few.
Yeah. And it was most people had heard of it or had run one, or somebody like a friend or family member has been trying to get them to do one. So, yeah.
Yeah, everybody, it's kind of always hard to explain a Ragnar sometimes though, like at least explain it in very, like a one sentence.
Yeah, you're not there for like half an hour.
Yeah, it doesn't, I don't think, come very clear in like a one sentence thing. Everybody seemed to. You know, I don't have 12 people, you know, I don't have 12 right. friends. And
or then they hear like the 200 miles and they're like, what? It's like, no, not by yourself.
Yeah, you're
like,
not doing that by yourself.
There's 12 people total on the team that cover the 200 miles.
So, I mean, the one thing that I actually just found out like the week before that, you know, Ragnar, I guess I should explain a little bit. We've talked about it several times before.
Yeah.
But, you know, 200 mile relay, you do either do it as an ultra team with 6 people or you do it as a 12 person team. The one thing that Ragnar is doing differently is... I don't know if they're doing it for all the locations, but for Ragnar, for sure, they're doing what they call a six-pack.
You mean for Napa, for sure?
What did I say?
Ragnar.
I said for Ragnar?
Yeah.
Okay. So for Napa, specifically, they're doing what they call a six-pack, which is you can register as a six-person team, kind of, and they will hook you up with another six-person team, creating one 12-person team.
Right.
So it kind of has that added benefit of you don't have to find 12 people. You don't have to go on to Facebook on your own and try to like hook up with 6 other people. And then you have to deal with like who's registering and who's paying.
Exactly.
Although we've done that before and not had any issues, but
no.
Kind of takes a lot of that out of your hands and puts it in Ragnar's hand and kind of makes it super easy.
Right.
If you only have 6, but you're not wanting to do the ultra, that's another option for you. So,
Yeah, I was telling a lot of people about that. For Napa too. Cause a lot of people, you know, oh, I have like 4 or 5 people or, it's like, okay, well, you know, this is a good option for you then, you know, and you can get set up with somebody else and then another 6-pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ragnar, Napa, I should say the date, September 20th, 21st.
Yeah.
San Francisco to Napa. If you're interested in doing it or you decide you want to do it, send us an email we can hook you up, make it a little bit cheaper for you.
Yes.
So just shoot us an email, let us know. We'll get you a discount code that'll help you out. So on to other things. What are we talking about? Disney Princess.
Yeah, registration opened for the Walt Disney World Princess Half Marathon. I believe it was last week.
Right.
Yeah, last Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact date, but I guess the 11th. Does that make it the 11th?
I think so.
Yeah. So the, you know, they're having the new glass slipper challenge this time around for 2014, which is the 10K, which is also a new event. The 10K by itself is a new event, followed by the half marathon the next day. So the, no surprise to me, at least, the glass slipper challenge sold out like that afternoon. So same day. So I don't know if that, I wasn't surprised by it at all. Challenges have kind of been selling out with Disney.
We've
like
said
look
it,
at Dumbo, like was gone like quickly.
You know, races sell out faster. Every
Dopey was gone.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we keep saying it all the time, which is kind of why we jump on things so early. Kind of going back to the expo.
Oh yeah,
I did actually have a little bit of a chance to kind of walk around the expo. Didn't have a lot of time. Actually, didn't buy anything. Shockingly enough,
I bought a couple goo.
Did you?
Yeah, for you actually.
Oh, thank you. I've been running low. Yeah, I just didn't have a chance to. Too many people kind of coming through the expo when I was there. But I did go over to the CIM booth, and I told them I expected nice weather this year. And I told them, you know, I did it last year in the pouring rain, my first marathon. And I told them I registered. We registered day one, right?
Yeah, day one.
Yeah, so I told them that. So they were excited over there at the booth. And then I went over to the Big Sur booth. And I was joking about, like, okay, so how fast is it going to sell out this year?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they said last year was 26 or 28 hours.
Yeah, I think that's what you told me.
And they actually said they have like a pool going around the office on how quick it's going to sell out this year. So that'll be interesting.
I wonder what they win if they win the pool. Do they get an entry?
No. Probably nothing. I mean, they probably already have free entries and stuff. But yeah, those are the only two booths I really stopped at the expo. Did you see anything else interesting at the expo?
Not that I can think of. No, because I mean, I walked by... CIM, I think I kind of walked by and, you know, I just like, oh, you know, doing it again this year. And I'm like, we're going to have better weather this year, right? It's not going to be the same as last year. She's like, no, it can't happen 2 years in a row, you know, so just cracking up. And then as soon as she said that, I thought, well, watch it happen like this year again. Yeah. Big Sur was kind of busy when I walked by because I think the expo was just busier when I was there probably than when you were there. I'm thinking
if by some crazy chance CIM is like super rainy and cold and windy again this year, that's going to be a tough sell. For the next year.
For the next year.
Like after 2 years of bad weather.
Yeah. I'd still do it.
Me too.
Because that would be my fifth year. But anyways.
Yeah.
So what were we talking about? Oh, Disney, right?
Yeah. So we were talking about.
Okay. So yeah, the glass slipper challenge. Yeah. Sold out. And then as of right now, so Monday night, the 17th, the 10K is 92% sold out or sold or full. I don't know why I said it that way. Mm-hmm. 92% full. And then the half marathon is only 61% full. So I think the 10K will probably sell out this week.
Yeah,
I mean, it got to like 80-something pretty quickly, and then it's kind of just been slowly inching up.
These Disney 10Ks are proving to be very popular.
Yeah.
Because I always say like 10K is, just in general, kind of the least popular event.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of see not very many of them in some ways. But these 10Ks are pretty popular, and we were just talking a week or two ago about, were we talking about the Bellin 10K? Oh, that was a 10K, right?
Yeah.
That's a huge event. So
massive.
Maybe I'm just oblivious to the 10K.
Maybe it's just not popular with us necessarily, but doesn't mean that it's not a popular distance for everybody else.
True.
Yeah.
Other things going on at the SF Marathon. So youngest woman to run 100?
Yeah, 100 marathons. So not 100 SF Marathon.
That would be impossible.
Yeah, that would be, should be like 100, and besides the fact that they haven't had it that long. So I think she's like submitting or applying or however you say it to be in the Guinness Book of World Records is the youngest woman, I believe. I think it's woman and not just youngest person to run 100 marathons. So she is 28 and she did her 100th at San Francisco Marathon. So I believe she ran her first marathon when she was, I think, like 14 or 15. She did it with her dad. She was like cross country and she decided she wanted to do a marathon. So she just completed her 100th this weekend.
So that means she's been doing it for 14 years.
Yeah.
So that's still a lot of marathons for 14 years.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, props to her.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think the previous record holder was supposedly 34.
Right.
So, yeah, if you want to go after that record, you got to be not only younger than 28 right now, but you better be like younger than 20 to get a head start unless you're going to do the...
Or you got to be under 28 and have had like 80 already under your belt or something, which I guess at that point you're already going for it. So.
Or willing to spend 2 years kind of one a week maybe.
Yeah.
which would be crazy.
That would be crazy. Done it, though.
Mm-hmm. Other running stories, kind of a crazy one from Seattle, right?
Yeah, I think it's West Seattle, Washington. So, okay. I think you're kind of making a joke about it earlier. Like, yeah, this will teach people to mess with runners. So, this woman, I believe her first name is Sarah. She was in her home, you know, had just changed into her running clothes, getting ready to go out for a run, but kind of doing some last minute things around the house, and, saw, I guess, like out of the corner of her eye, some guy like going into her detached garage mm-hmm. and take a bike, I guess that they had in there.
Yeah.
A
bicycle. I guess her husband's bike.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously like trying to steal it. So she said her instincts just kind of kicked in, which we might not all have these same instincts if we saw that, but, you know, kind of went out there and confronted him. And I guess, you know, he's just like, I don't know if it didn't really say if he was like walking away with it or like riding away.
Yeah, we were
with
unclear
it.
Whether.
Yeah.
He grabbed the bike and hopped on and took off.
Or if he was carrying it? No.
Yeah, carrying it or walking with it, because I think the article said that like it was pretty quick where he decided to ditch the bike.
Right. Because she couldn't like confront him. And
yeah.
I don't know exactly what she said, but. You know.
I figure if he was on the bike, he should have been able to get away.
That's what I was thinking. So maybe he was walking it.
Maybe one hell of a runner.
Maybe he was like walking it or something. So he ditched the bike after like, I think it said like 30 steps or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
He ditched the bike, but she didn't stop there. She actually chased after him. And I guess, you know, like ended up running like maybe about a mile, like just chasing him down. And I think like all the while, like yelling out to people to like call 911 because he was trying to steal and, you know, that sort of thing. And then I think like at around a mile or so is when like, I believe the police kind of caught up to them and got the guy and yeah, charged him.
Yeah, so don't mess with the runner. Exactly. I guess she had actually just changed to like go out for a run.
Right.
So she was actually planning to do a 6 miler.
Yeah.
At that time. So she was like ready and set.
So she was good to go.
She was
just getting her run in. He just happened to be like in front of her. No.
I wonder if she like did the police report and then just like took off for like finish her next 5 miles. Right. You know, it's like, I still got to get my run in.
She's like, I just warmed up. But I think it was kind of funny because they were saying that the thief was yelling back to her like to stop following him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like while she's like chasing him down, it's like, that's hello, funny. You just try to steal something from me. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. I always think about like, oh, you know, I run with like my iPhone on my arm. I'm like, if anybody ever tried to like snag my iPhone off my arm,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's not going to work. I'm just going to run you down.
Right.
Like, unless you're like in a car driving by me, which would be possible. But other than that, you know, I can chase you for a good, you know, 10 miles.
Yeah. That'd have to be pretty skilled though. If they were like in a car trying to steal.
Snag it off my
arm. Yeah, while you're running.
My arm.
Yeah, yeah. I think you'd have bigger problems than chasing him down at that point.
All right. Let's talk about one of our other running activities. So, if you're keeping track, the running activities I referred to, I did 6 days of running activities. So, 3 runs.
keeping track.
For those,
we're giving you the update.
Home, that was so 3 runs. My 4th was recording the podcast. That's a running activity.
All right,
we're counting that. Then it was being at the SF Expo. Kind of uh-huh. working the booth over there was 5. And number 6 was heading out to see Spirit of the Marathon 2.
Right.
So we mentioned the movie was coming out. One night premiere in theaters. I'm sure it'll be on DVD. I checked the website today. There's like nothing about when it's going to be on DVD. It still has all the information for the theaters, which was several days ago now. But we went to a local theater
mm-hmm.
To catch the movie. I think there was probably about 20 something people maybe in the theater. So,
which I guess is, I actually thought it'd be just a couple people less, but I mean, just obviously plenty of room in the theater.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting a huge crowd or anything like that. So it's kind of funny. I actually wore my Ragnar shirt.
That's right.
To the movies and saw a couple of people with our local Brazen Racing shirts on.
Yeah.
I think that was all the kind of the running stuff, but sometimes you can always just like look at people's shoes and kind of recognize like, oh yeah, you're here for Spirit of the Marathon. Huh?
What's funny?
I can recognize those Asics or those
exactly.
running shoes anywhere.
Well, it's kind of funny because I think a couple of us were a little bit early, you know, for the movie. So we're kind mm-hmm. of like just killing time outside the theater.
Right.
And you know, we'd see like, hey, okay, he has a Brazen shirt. I bet he's like waiting for the movie too and trying to like kill some time. So it's just kind of funny. Yeah.
So Spirit of the Marathon 2 is a sequel to obviously Spirit of the Marathon 1, which focused on the Chicago Marathon. this one is focused on Rome, the Rome Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of focused on, I don't even know how many actual runners were kind of in the movie, like 6, 7, something like that.
Something like that.
I actually don't remember anybody's name.
Mimo.
Okay.
Remember him. You know who that is? He's the one who had the pizza place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically just, I mean, it's kind of hard to describe. It's just kind of really a documentary about these 6 peoples and a little bit of their backstory, 6 or 7, whatever it was.
Yeah.
A little bit of their backstory.
In terms of like personal life, but also running?
Yeah, not a huge amount of time spent on kind of like their training for the race.
Yeah, very little.
That's kind of skipped over.
Which was different than the original Spirit of the Marathon.
Yeah, there was kind of
a lot more time on like training, I think, and kind of seeing them get through that.
Yeah, the only thing I really remember from the first one is like I remember some focus on like some group training runs like on the weekends.
Yeah.
Somebody was like with that.
Because somebody was doing like a team and training or something.
Something in that first one. Now, the one thing I really wasn't prepared for was, maybe I should have known this because it's the Rome Marathon. I felt like I was seeing a foreign film because very few of the people actually spoke English.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a professional male runner from the Ukraine.
Right.
Who was trying to make it on his Olympic team for his country.
Right.
There was a professional runner from Rwanda.
Yes.
So neither of those two spoke English.
Right.
There was like three local Italians.
Yes.
The pizza guy, his cousin.
And then there was a woman who owned a store or something like that.
Right,
like a sports or running store.
Yeah, three Italians there who didn't speak any English.
Right.
There was one former running cross-country, like high school coach from the U.S. who obviously spoke English.
Right.
Is there anybody else in the movie?
Yeah, I can't remember her name, but the one that was running like 100 marathons to raise money for, I think it was pancreatic cancer?
Yes.
I can't think of her first name, but I think she's from Southern California.
Yeah.
So she clearly spoke English, but I think that was pretty much...
Yeah, so it was just weird because I wasn't expecting like so many subtitles.
Yeah.
Which was fine. It just kind of caught me off guard. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, subtitles. I'm like, oh, okay, more subtitles. Like, oh, okay. Like, wait a minute.
Oh, majority of the movie is going to be subtitles.
Yeah. So, which you kind of forget about and you kind of go through, but... And some of them had some very heartfelt personal stories.
Right.
Notably, the female professional runner from Rwanda. A lot of story there. The coach from...
Yeah.
The former cross-country coach from the U.S. Had kind of a touching story there. So it just kind of gives you a little details about, you know, their life and kind of a little bit on their training. Not much.
Not much on their training. A little bit.
And then you kind of go to, like, race morning. The movie actually opens, like, before the credits, I think, with kind of them... Basically at the start of the marathon, right?
Or getting to the start.
Kind of gets going.
Yeah.
Some beautiful shots of Rome.
Oh, yeah.
Some beautiful shots of the course. Definitely kind of makes you want to go there if you didn't already.
Yeah.
Kind of a popular place that a lot of people want to go. But very beautiful. Definitely kind of like, ooh, I'd love to go there. It'd kind of be super cool to do the marathon there sometime.
And eat pizza?
Yes.
Yeah.
The guy, you know, one of the guys actually owns a pizza place. Right. So we got a lot of shots of pizza. In the movie. It looked very good.
It looked very good.
He was kind of funny because him and his cousin had no problem drinking the wine.
Like the day before.
The night before. And they kept saying, you know, oh, we got to stop drinking. We're running tomorrow. And then they kind of just
kept
another glass and stuff. So that was kind of funny. But what else do we want to say about it?
I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, any running movie documentary,
yeah, I'm going to enjoy
it. I'm like, yeah, I can't complain. So definitely worth a C. You know, I'm not going to go buy the DVD to see it again when it comes out.
Seeing
it one time.
Yeah,
actually, do
me
own
too.
The first Spirit of the Marathon on DVD.
I can go watch that again, actually.
The first one?
Yeah.
I think last year at some point I was on a plane somewhere and I watched half of it and then the plane landed. So I
stopped there.
So I think I still have it like halfway viewed on my iPad.
So you have to finish it.
Yeah, at some point. Although I really don't even remember the first half. So
yeah.
Which is why I started watching it again in the first place because I couldn't remember it. But yeah, the stories were cool. Made me want to do the Rome Marathon. You know, the Italian cousins were kind of funny and cool to watch.
Yeah. Makes you want to, like, when you come out of there, like, you feel like you want to, like, speak Italian. And, you know, like, the two words that you know, like, you just want to say them, like, all the time. And so it's kind
of
funny.
Yeah, the start of the marathon was kind of weird because I think they even called it, like, cages.
Yeah.
It's, like, very, like, secured off. And it almost looks like you're in cages, like, waiting for this race to start. Kind of a very weird visual.
Yeah, it's interesting just to kind of see something like that.
Yeah, and I'm like oh, that's
international, you know, because I have like really no exposure to...
Although, it's interesting. I'm gonna have to find out at some point what time of day that marathon starts, because it didn't seem that early in the morning.
It wasn't dark
from the movie, so it wasn't dark. Nobody was cold.
That's a good
it
point.
Just didn't seem like, you know, like our 5 a.m or 7 a.m starts here,
right?
So no idea.
Yeah,
maybe it was, it just, I didn't get that feeling from the movie. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so kind of worth seeing.
Absolutely.
At some point, like I said, don't expect some, like, I'm not going to say like, oh, that's the greatest movie ever, or, you know, I think Spirit of the Marathon 1 was still probably a better movie.
Yeah.
I
think Spirit of the Marathon, the first one, I think was more inspiring to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is definitely still very interesting, entertaining, you know, of course, it's all about running, you know, so I'm going to enjoy that. But I think I felt a little bit more inspired with the first one.
Yeah. I even liked the Hood to Coast movie. I think I actually liked better.
Yeah.
You know, the one weird thing is that you kind of like, you know, see the little lead up to the race, and then you see kind of some shots of them running the race. And, you know, at the end, you do get finishing times for, I think, most everybody, if not right. everybody. It's just weird because you have no clue at, like, how they're doing when they're showing shots of the marathon.
Until
the finish. Because I know several of them, I was like, ooh, that's, like, way slower than I thought your time was going to be.
Yeah.
Based on kind of how they talked about, like, what they were shooting for, or what they were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, a couple of them. I only remember, I think, two of their times. But, yeah, you kind of have no sense of how the race is really going.
Yeah, where they are with them. All that.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was kind of weird because they, at least two of them, like, seemed to have somebody there, like, to kind of get them to the finish. I don't know. Like, I mean, obviously, they had some kind of film crew running along with them. But
right,
it almost
to get,
seemed like,
to get the shots.
Almost seemed like one or two of them had, like, somebody to carry water for them and kind of, like, take care of them
mm-hmm.
for the race, which obviously none of us are going to have if we go do a run.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, not a lot of focused on kind of the hardships of training that we go through sometimes.
Most of the time. I mean, I think everybody with training faces some sort of hardship.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, I think, yeah, like you said, I think definitely worth seeing for mm-hmm. sure. And I think, I mean, at this point, like you said, it's just going to have to wait until it's out on DVD, whenever that might be.
It is fun, though, going to see like a running movie at the theater.
Right.
And kind of being in a room with just running people.
Yeah.
And, to and, some degree, you have to be pretty, you know, nobody went to the theater that day and said, oh, let's see that, you know.
Right. Like, oh, what's playing right now? Okay, let's see Spirit of the Marathon, too.
Yeah, we're all people that, you know,
have been waiting for the day.
And, yeah, we, like, knew it was coming, or, you know, maybe some podcast told you about it.
There you go.
You decided to go check it out, so.
Yeah, or even just when, like, certain jokes are made in the movie that, like.
It's a running joke.
Yeah, yeah. Like, everybody else would be like, what? I don't get it. You know, so that was exciting.
So, two thumbs up, I guess.
Yeah.
I think no matter what, I would have given it. It's a running movie. Gotta love the running movies. All right. Let's switch gears
on.
Let's talk about something. So that was my six running activities.
Another six running activities?
So I got 6 days
okay.
in there.
Okay. Good job.
I don't want to get shorted on my credit.
So you're gonna aim for 7 this week?
No.
Okay.
Because I'm just going to get like 3 runs in and that's going to be it. Maybe 4. I got to get to 4 days.
But then you're recording this on a different day. So
well, if I count the podcast, then every week it's more like 4 days.
There
so.
You go. Well, you just said running related activities, so that should count.
What if I go shopping for shoes? Does that count? You know, sometimes you go to the shop, you try on shoes, you go out the door.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to count. Okay. All right. Let's get into an actual running topic or a little recovery topic, I guess. Should you take ice baths?
This is like near and dear to your heart.
Yes, I've talked about ice baths.
Yeah.
Several times before. I do take an ice bath occasionally. I haven't lately. I think it's probably been at least a month and a half.
Probably.
I don't know. I have no idea if there's any scientific proof that it helps me at all. I'll even concede that maybe it doesn't. But even if it's a placebo effect,
I'll take it.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Ice baths aren't necessarily the easiest things to do sometimes because, you know, it's kind of tough to convince yourself to jump in a tub or bucket of cold water.
That's the hardest part about it.
Is getting in.
Once you're in, yes, it's cold, but you kind of adjust.
Yeah.
It's just that the initial getting in.
So what's an ice bath? Let's break it down really. Fill a tub about halfway with cold water.
Uh-huh.
Then you...
Or some other large receptacle that you can fit in.
I use a garbage can.
Right.
Because it's just easier. Just fill it with a hose from outside.
And pour ice into it.
And just dump some ice into it. So actually, I'm reading an article about it. It actually says the water should be between 54 to 60 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
So I have actually no clue what the temperature of the water is when I jump in it. I'm actually going to, maybe next time, I'm actually going to stick a thermometer in there and see what it is. Because I have no idea how close to that I am.
Maybe you can do an ice bath after this running related activity right now.
No. I definitely don't need it. So right now. But I mean, for me, it's always felt good. Mm-hmm. My legs always seem to feel better. I seem to feel fresher the next morning.
Yeah.
Kind of after the ice bath. So, I mean, that's kind of why I do it. But this article that I got here kind of talks about who would want to do it. So if you log high mileage with lots of long runs,
mm-hmm.
you might see some benefit
right.
from doing ice baths. The second category is if you log low mileage, but lots of sprint work or speed work, you could see some benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just doing moderate mileage with no or little speed work, probably not going to get any benefit from it. Now, that's kind of my category.
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing high mileage, and I really don't do much speed work. But I still, personally, feel much better when I do it.
And it does say if you're in the that category of the moderate mileage with little to no speed work, if you're going to do the ice bath, to do it on your most difficult run of the week, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's traditionally when you would do it, right?
Yeah, I would do it after a long run. And, you know, I think this year, this calendar year, I think I've done it when I've done a really tough long run. And I've started to kind of maybe get a little bit of pain in my leg. Like, I feel like kind of something creeping up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, let me get ahead of this. Let me, you know, let me still get my long run in. I'm not like twinging so bad that I'm going to like skip the long run, but let me do the long run and then let me hop in the ice.
Yeah.
And that kind of seems to keep me healthy at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't been out of running at all this year for like more than a couple of days, I don't think. Or I guess post Goofy, I took a week off. But
right.
That was just being tired.
Yeah.
More than anything. So, yeah. So I'm a big fan. You've barely ever done it, right?
Yeah, I think
a couple times. Probably because I talked you into it.
Well, I think the very first time I did it was actually after our first Ragnar, actually.
Oh, really?
I think that was, okay. Thinking back, I think that was the first time I had ever, it was either that or, what was first? Was that first or CIM was first? CIM was first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe after the very first CIM that I did. So my very first marathon, I think I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't remember how I felt afterwards. Because I think I would have been sore regardless.
Right.
You know, so I was sore the next day. Now, it's hard to say how much, would I have been more sore, less sore, no different? After doing the ice bath. And then I think I've done it after like one or two Ragnars. I think I did it after my 50K.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. So there's a couple of little like random times that I'll do it too. Like after a really, really, really difficult trail run too, I think I've done it. And I think in the moment, aside from having to jump into cold water, I think it feels pretty good.
Right.
You know, just to kind of ice down the legs. Mm-hmm. So, but it's hard to say, like, you know, if you didn't do the ice bath, like how different would you feel? Who knows? You're never really going to know because you can't really, you know, duplicate those exact, you know,
conditions.
It's
impossible
again
to know.
Right.
So, I mean, you should be in there for like 5 to 15 minutes. One option is instead of dumping all the water in the tub and then dumping the ice and then getting in, is you can get in the tub with just the water.
And then
and
do the
then
ice.
And dump the ice in. A little bit easier to, you know.
Yeah, that does.
Get in the water.
I think
kinda
that
helps
does a little
bit
easier.
And I like the ice bath too, because if you just want to ice like one part of your leg, sometimes you either got to get like a really big ice pack or a really big bag of ice, or you got to move it around to kind of get the whole leg. And when you're in an ice bath or, you know, you're jumping in a tub or something, you got the whole body part covered, you know,
right?
Your leg, you know, your entire foot, your ankle, your leg, your knee, whatever the problem is, you got it in there.
Yeah.
So you don't have to deal with that. And in some ways, to me, it's just kind of easier.
Or if you're doing an actual tub, then you have like hips and all that covered too.
Yeah.
Hips, glutes, all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do it in, like I said, I have a big garbage can. It's clean. I've never actually used it for garbage.
Right. And it's not made of metal, so don't worry about like the rust.
Yeah,
it's like a plastic one.
And I'll just fill it so that I get enough water just past above my knees. So I don't have to get any other body parts above that in, but everything under that is covered
is in there
and good. And then, you know, after the bath, I can just dump it out on the grass and it's kind of pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
And keeps the actual real tub in the house clean. You don't have to worry about it.
That's true.
So an alternative to that they do suggest is you can always do the thing where you fill like the paper cups. Like
yeah, you'd heard of this before. I don't think I had.
Yeah, you fill like a paper cup with water.
Mm-hmm. And freeze it.
Freeze it. And then you just kind of tear enough of the top of the cup off till you get like ice on the end. And then you can hold the paper cup part and you just kind of massage whatever is kind of aching. Mm-hmm. So you're holding the cup and not the ice, but you're kind of rubbing the ice all over your knee or your calf or whatever is injuring yourself. So kind of give yourself a little ice massage that way. So I've never actually done that. I would just get a normal ice pack out of the freezer, but that's actually a pretty good way to do it.
Right.
Then
you also get kind of like that, not just from the ice itself, but kind of like that rubbing motion, you know, like kind of similar to like maybe using the stick.
Yeah.
You know, like that
kind of
deep massage thing. You're kind of doing both. You're doing it with ice.
Yeah. Because that ice, that top of that ice would be very smooth and it's kind of very good for massaging
right.
muscle out. So works very nicely.
Yeah. It's interesting.
So, I mean,
I'd never heard of it, but I mean, I could now I'm just curious. Like I just want to try it. So I have to freeze some.
The little cup thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little cup thing.
So, you know, let us know what your opinions are on ice baths.
Yeah. Yay or nay.
Yay or nay. Might not be the, you know, worth the work. You know, I pretty much agree that, you know, if you're not doing a ton of speed work or high mileage, it might not be worth it. But like I said, even for me, if it's just a placebo effect, I'll take it.
Right.
Yeah.
If you feel better, whether it's because scientifically the ice bath helped or just because you just feel better.
Right.
Then why not? You think you're going to do ice bath after a dirty dozen?
I will. Well, actually, you know.
No hesitation there at all.
I guess. I didn't hesitate and I said it, so I guess I would do it. But lately, I haven't really felt the need to do it, which is why I haven't. But like I said, I haven't had anything like twinging or super sore. Like I said, after I ran in the free runs, I was like, oh, maybe this weekend I'll ice down. But yeah. I actually felt pretty good yesterday and today, so I haven't needed it. But yeah, after running 26 miles, I think that's a pretty good time to do it.
I think so.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into other things. Wanted to give a shout out to Tim, who I actually met at the expo.
Yeah, that's pretty
actually
cool.
Doing the second half. Not sure how it went. Let us know. Wanted to congratulate Tara, who actually sent us a message on Facebook. She did her first 5K.
Woohoo!
And is already signing up for her second 5K.
I know.
So congratulations on that.
So you got the bug too.
Yeah, hopefully you're hooked and we'll continue to do that. Strangely, the first 5K and the second 5K you're doing was actually our nighttime races. So
right.
Kind of went unusual there.
That's pretty cool, though. Like what? I was just thinking when I read that, like, what do we have around here that's nighttime?
I know in Davis, like, California, they do a moonlight, right?
Yeah. But other than that?
Yeah, not a lot. It's weird because I want to say, like, oh, I'd like to do a nighttime race at some point. Well, we've done lots of Ragnars.
Right.
You're always running something at night. But yeah. I guess it'd be very different doing just a 5K or 10K or half, like, at night, having, like, a mass start at night.
Mm-hmm.
Would be different. So isn't there something in Modesto, California?
I don't remember.
It's a night race?
I don't remember.
All right.
Will you be doing Rock and Roll Las Vegas? That's evening.
Yeah, but it's Las Vegas. It's not that dark with the strip at night, I guess.
Oh, is that kind of the thing, is just the darkness, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be. That's a good question.
I know they had I think it was called the Twilight, I believe is what it was called. It was the first year that they had it over in Cool, California, same place where they do Way Too Cool. And they did that like a couple weeks back. So that was like a night trail run.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to do a night trail.
I would totally do that.
That's a little hardcore for me.
Yeah, point, and I think if you signed up and everything, you got a little headlamp and stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, the headlamp.
Yeah, and I think it was very friendly and supportive in terms of like showing you and helping you, you know, in terms of like learning how to run the trails at nighttime. So
interesting.
Yeah.
So speaking of races, we actually had a busy week. Wait a minute. What day did we like register for these races? Can I count this as like my seventh day this week?
Well, one of them was the same day that you were at the expo, so that doesn't count.
Okay.
Yeah.
So while we were at the expo, we actually signed up for the Berkeley half marathon.
Right.
Which is going to be an inaugural race. Their booth was actually two over from our Ragnar booth at the expo. And they were having a 20% off thing at the expo. What were you going to say? Like how long it took us to decide?
No, I was going to say technically like you signed up Friday. And then, so I was like, okay, well, he signed up Friday. So when I go in Saturday, I need to make sure I sign up.
Right. So, well, I checked.
I mean,
with
not
you.
That I had to.
I said,
but,
you know,
oh, yeah.
Are we sure we're doing this? And you said, yeah. We were just talking about earlier today that this is like the fastest we ever went from finding out about a race to registering for a race.
Yeah.
Because we didn't even know this race existed until nobody did, I guess. I think the announcement came like Wednesday.
Yeah. It was after the last time we recorded.
Yeah. So, I think we got an email because we're on the email list from actually the SF Marathon.
Right.
And the Berkeley is in San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah.
The Bay from San Francisco, home of UC Berkeley.
Right.
Actually, some of the course is actually going to be along the water of the bay there. But it's the people who put on the race are either the same people that put on the SF Marathon or somehow affiliated with them.
It's the same people.
It is the same people. Okay. So because we're on that list, we got the email like Wednesday or whatever. And we're like, oh, this is, you know, kind of interesting inaugural year.
We started looking it up.
It's going to be like a point to point.
Yeah.
So they said they're going to do some type of transportation. They don't know anything about how that's exactly going to work.
But there'll be some sort of transportation.
So, and then.
Then we started looking at our training plans or just mood, not specific training plans. We're like, okay, well, when is CIM in relation to this race?
Yeah. So this is actually, I don't even have the exact date. It's 2 weeks before CIM.
November 24th.
Okay. Thank you.
That's one of those useless like pieces of information that I will always remember for no reason.
So, you know, typical beginner intermediate marathon training plans would usually call for you to do 8 miles before the marathon and then the week before. And then 2 weeks before, you would normally do 12.
Right.
So this falls exactly 2 weeks before CIM. So you're going to do 13 as the half. So it kind of works out. We just have to make that mental note to run it and not race it. So the timing works out. Although I didn't realize until this morning, it's actually the week after RNR Las Vegas, which I guess.
I don't know that I realized that until this second.
Okay. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that we kind of screwed that one up, but that's okay.
Well, it's done now. We'll figure it out.
It's done now. So we registered at the expo and took advantage of it. I think it only ended up being like 50 bucks.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah,
so,
it was pretty.
I'm like, all right, cool, cheap, you know, inaugural.
I think they're also going to have a 10-miler, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So for people that are looking to do a 10-mile.
Yeah, there's some options there. So we also signed up for Grape Stomp Half Marathon, which is in Livermore, California, kind of a smaller local race that we've done several times over the last few years. I think you even ran it, I think, for the first time probably, what, 6-7 years ago?
Something like that.
So we're kind of in for that. We actually kind of had a little bit of a issue with the registration, but we actually emailed the race director, and she responded immediately and took care of it. And
right. We had a little snafu.
Yeah, we were good to go. That's a race that once in a while they do have little...
snafus?
Little snafus, but they're always really great about taking care of it and like apologizing or fixing it. So that's the kind of thing that, you know, doesn't bother me.
Keeps you coming back.
Kind of keeps you coming back. So that'll be fun. So we added two new races to the race schedule. Our race schedule is actually always on the website, so you can always check it out there. If you're just happen to be curious where we're going to be, if you see us at a race, come by and say hi. You actually just got a package today in the mail.
Oh, that's right.
From Nathan Hydration, because you had said you had a leaking valve.
Yeah, on my Nathan Intensity, which I do pretty much all of my long, long runs and my longer trail runs.
Right.
And even like my trail half marathons I've been doing with my Nathan Intensity, which I really love and I've talked about before. But I've had like the little valve, like I don't know if it's called the bite valve, but that's what I call it.
Well, that's what Camelback calls there, so I'm assuming it's the same.
Well, that little area, it had been leaking, you know, just been like dripping, like without... any sort of, I mean, just like on its own, like while I was racing and stuff. So I had sent them a message a little while back and they said that, you know, they would replace it. And so they actually sent me a whole brand new bladder. Mm-hmm. So obviously with the new, you know, tubing and bite valve, but the whole new bladder. So I just got that. So they're really good about, you know, taking care of their customers.
Right.
You know, and if something's like, not defective, but if something's kind of not holding up to, you know, their expectations, you know, you gotta just let them know. And yeah, they replaced it for me, no problem.
Yeah, I was expecting them just to replace either the valve or the whole tube.
That's what I thought. I was expecting like the tube with the valve, but
getting the whole bladder is kind of, you know, props to them. So
absolutely. So I totally appreciate that.
We talked about Brooks before, kind of standing by their
same
stuff
thing, right?
Before, so I mean, that's at least two companies in one race, I guess, we're mentioning that, you know, kind of stands by the product. And I guess good advice if you ever have an issue with a product, just you know, now these days, it's super easy just to hop on Facebook and send a message. And if that doesn't work, you know, always just go to the website and send them an email to whatever their contact email is. And a lot of the time, it seems like, you know, most companies, if it's a good reputable company, should stand by their stuff and kind of take care of the issue. If it is an issue with the product that they can take care of.
Right. Exactly.
So
I was pretty happy about that. So I'll have to try that one out.
Yeah. So now you have an extra.
Right. Get rid of my leaking one.
Yeah. So you have a nice new bladder, valve, tubing, and then you have one with just a valve, which you can't really do anything with anyways. So
yeah. I mean, it's not like
you can
always
just switch out the bladder too.
Exactly. Like I mean, it's not like, it's not like my like water was pouring out of it, but you know, it was just like drip. Yeah. Just like constantly dripping. So it's like, oh my gosh, pretty much.
Right. Anything else for this week?
I can't think of anything else.
All right. Then I think we're going to wrap it up.
Alrighty.
That's going to do it. So thanks for listening.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.